Well, it is technically time, and people are still getting snacks. We can wait maybe a moment. I appreciate you guys hanging in there for like the last session. You know, having your snacks last session of the day. I'm pretty confident we'll be wrapped up a little bit early. And I also, my esteemed colleague double booked himself a little bit, so he is wrapping up a webinar with Dr. Carl Evans, who was our keynote yesterday, and he is on his way here, so I'm going to get us started, but he will be with us in a little bit. So we are going to be talking about a classroom assessment quality review rubric. So we are really focusing on classroom summative assessments here. And just to give like a little bit of background of, I wouldn't necessarily say this is the only, you'll never have to find anything else. I do think it was like the, right? Like introducing the classroom assessment quality review tool. This is something that Dr. Steed and I kind of developed together through a process with the district that was at like looking for doing some assessment review, quality review after doing some common assessments. They're like, okay, we gave these common assessments, and yeah, the data's not great from them in a couple different ways. And we want to take our teams through a process of, because they didn't really do any quality assessment work before requiring everybody to do common assessments, which happens, right? All very regularly. And so they asked us to come in to help kind of go lead that process with teachers. So this particular thing we're going to share with you today came out of that, a specific ask, right? So there are some things in it that are aligned to like that unique request and ask and tools they were using. Even since then, like I'm working with the district tomorrow afternoon. They're kind of coming up from a different angle. They are really going to talk about quality assessment before asking, right, their teachers to go work on things. And so I've since adjusted it, and I have like a different version that I'm working on, you know, like using with them, that is meeting their needs a little bit more. So it's not the only right tool or one to use. It is a tool, an example that you can use. So hey, you're here. I was just kind of setting the stage of how we came up with the tool while I was killing time, Stephen, before you walked in the room. So we haven't even gotten to introductions yet.
Okay.
All right. So I was basically just telling them that we had developed this tool in this particular need, and that since then I've actually, like, I'm going to another district tomorrow, and I've adjusted it to that need.
Okay.
So do you want to grab your mic? Because they require us to use the mics when we're here. I'm wearing the mic. I'm like, this is my Madonna moment. Like, I mean, the full headset would be better, but I'm gonna.
Yeah. You must be my superstar.
Lucky star.
Lucky star.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's a critic.
Stephen likes to sing.
I do. Hi,
okay.
Everybody.
You want to take? Or do you want me to just keep
You're
going?
Clicking.
All right.
Go for it.
So the things that we're going to be talking about in our session, and really this was too, like when we were working with the groups of teachers, we were trying to work on increasing assessment author awareness of quality and introduce assessment writers to quality assessment review tools and strategies. So that's our things for today.
So hi, everybody. Many familiar faces, some newer-ish kind of faces, but we've been 2-3 days together, so we're all BFFs, right? So I'm Dr. Stephen Snead, Supervisor of Curriculum Assessment at Oakland Schools, on the Board of Directors for the Michigan Assessment Consortium, and on the Executive Planning Committee for this conference. So hopefully you've had a good conference experience. If you didn't, please let us know. You don't need to tell us that the rooms were cold. We get it. We know.
Or that the Wi-Fi is garbage.
Or that the Wi-Fi is a real stink. Got that feedback is heard loud and clear. Just a little bit about my background. I cut my teeth in the biz as a high school English teacher in Detroit. then to Oak Park, and then a data role that I helped create through some grant funding in Oak Park, and then make my way to Oakland Schools as a research evaluation assessment consultant, then supervisor of that team and others. I was an adjunct professor for a little short stint at Concordia University. I'm a proud product of the Detroit Public Schools from Cass Tech. Did my undergrad work here at the University of Michigan, grad work at Wayne State, and doctoral work at Mizzou, University of Missouri. That's me.
And I am Dr. Megan Throm. I'll reverse it. My educational background, I went to Wayne State College of Education, and then my master's in ed psychology from Eastern, and then I traveled out to the University of Washington, loved it, phenomenal, too far away from my family, and came back and actually got my PhD is in sociology from back at Wayne State. And I taught in Berkeley for 23 years, primarily math and science middle school before joining Oakland Schools, but then also taught some sociology and psychology courses at Wayne State, Henry Ford, and as a TA at UW. And I'm a FAME coach as well. So if you have any questions, I coach two small teams. I'm still new in it, but you know, if you want to know from the not the leads of FAME or just like, hey, well, what is it really like for you? It's fantastic, but I can kind of tell you about my experience with that as well.
So Megan, here's my question for you. Do you sing the FAME song?
Well, it depends on which FAME song, because technically there's two.
Do you sing either of them?
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. We won't make you do that performance task now.
I appreciate it. You never know with him because he does like to sing.
Okay, so we're here for a good time, not a long time. And shout out to you being the crew that is at the last conference slot on the last day. You could have gotten in the car. No one would have been the wiser. So we appreciate your time here today. So we're going to get through some welcome and introductions. We're going to spend some time reflecting on like the current state of what we think our assessment systems are. Couple things some of you may know or may already know, but we want to set you up for our rationale for what we put in the rubric and why we put in it. And we are still very much looking for some feedback on this bad boy. It's in beta. It's like a very rough beta that we've sort of tested out with one space. Megan's testing out in another. I was a little late today because I literally just got off a webinar with the National Center of Assessment with like 200 people. And we're all talking about how we can shift our balance from commercially developed assessments towards more formative assessment and quality classroom assessment, because that's where real shifts in teaching and learning take place. So we're hoping that this helps teachers and leaders have a lens through which we can make sure, well, just because it's at the classroom level doesn't necessarily make it good. No, it's still got to be a good instrument. What can we do in schools and classrooms without breaking the bank to make sure that what we're doing is good? So we're very much looking for your feedback. So there's enough of us. We'll do this in like the people around yourself. Tell people your name, district role, and one example of learning you've participated in regarding classroom summative assessment. Did you listen to a podcast? Did you read a book? Did you have a course? Did you teach a course? What did you do? How have you learned about what it takes to have quality classroom assessment?
And I did just change that. It used to just say assessment. And because you've been here, I was like, well, that's kind of, everybody's done something. So I made it specific.
Thank you, Dr. Thorne. Okay, so trios, duos, or trios, have that conversation. We'll check back in. I'm going to look for two friends to share out in 3 minutes. Make new friends or reconnect with old friends.
And then it's going to be a little bit more.
About 30 more seconds. I'm going to change my proximity.
Yeah. You can sneak out if you need to. Get a snack.
And if you could bring your conversation to a close. If you could bring that conversation to a close. We're trying to get out of here at 4:15. Okay, looking for two friends. Something, an example of learning that you participated in regarding classroom summative assessment. How'd you learn?
Like, yeah, one, two.
I had a course in college.
All right. Which college?
Tri-State University in Angola, Indiana.
Okay. Tri-State. All right. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
All three of us were pretty much self-taught between coming. Yeah. Coming to the conferences and, you know, just sampling different things.
Street dreams are made of these. So that's some good learning. So you probably can figure out, even just with those two examples, that there's a wide variety of how people have come to learn and the opportunities to learn. We are still, like, as in the Maxters and others, organizations like us, are still trying to pressure and or work with institutions of higher education to ensure that there's this learning in teacher prep programs and even in principal and school leader prep programs.
And I think, too, sometimes there's a tension between what psychometricians will necessarily say you need to have in quality classroom assessments, and then teachers go, yeah, I'm not doing that. Right? That's not possible. That's not something I can do. So there's, like, some balance, some in-between of, like, theory and practice or best practice. So we want to take a minute to reflect on just assessment systems in general and have you think about what do you think are some key elements of high-quality classroom assessment. So we're going to do the think, pair, share. So we would like you to take a minute to individually jot down some ideas. So we do come providing sticky notes here. So take a minute to do some individual jotting, and then you'll pair up. If you don't have anything to write with, I could probably muster up. Oh, you know what I do? I do have pencils, because I have my little PL kit if we need. Do you need a pencil? Okay. All right. So take a moment, just maybe on each sticky note, write a different idea, because you are going to do some jotting. And do this independently first. So, key elements of quality classroom summative assessment. And again, try to write a new idea on each sticky note so that you can later do some grouping. We can have the crowd behind us or that. Oh, okay. Let's see which side's my better side.
See, like, we're trying to make the home look full. Man.
Go get a snack. No, I'm fine. Oh, yeah. All right. So I notice some trends around the room. I think for sure everybody has had something about aligned to standards. Is that fair? That every group had something about standards? I know that I saw like range of DOK in a couple different places. I will say, I feel like that's something everybody knows how to say, but not everybody really feels like they know how to do. It's very common. And I don't necessarily know that this actually addresses that issue, but that's a thing that's, I think, been coming up more recently for me as I talk to folks. I saw some things about bias, or making sure it's not biased, making sure it's culturally responsive. What were some of the other big, like, groupings that you had in your... Okay.
There's
something motivational, or
there's like plots on the task that the students want to
that they care about.
Engage with.
Yeah, so maybe something that is that they're interested in, that they find relevant to their lives. What were some of the other big buckets of ideas?
We a couple of us said no, I know some of those questions that kids talk to you like, oh, want them to
question.
Yeah.
Silly answers.
Yes, like those, yeah, non-answers, some things that are completely impossible. Or, yeah, and if you said that you haven't taught before, that you haven't assessed before,
yeah.
Right? If you haven't assessed on it at all, what are some of the other ones? So some kind of form of feedback?
We talked about the rubric and that, like, the math needs to be mapping and sort of your assessments and the questions, like, things need to add up on the scale and the equity in the assessment and how you're scoring things.
So maybe thinking about scoring, how many points things are worth, but with the spread of that, how many questions, all those kinds of things. Yeah?
If there's some predictive value in it, but we're going to do in the next course, college, career.
Okay. So some kind of relationship between how well they're doing on course assessments should maybe match some with, well, how well are they doing on some of those other assessments. Okay, you guys have hit, I said, you guys should run this. Okay, so you have some systems and structures. We want to ensure that quality is in place. So when we think about keys, we're gonna talk about some keys to quality blueprints and learning target assessment match.
Raise your hand if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Rick Stiggins. That should be most of you in the room, yes. Raise your hand if you're familiar with the graphic on the left. That should also be the same set of hands. All right, great. So just to quickly review, you know, so again, what we've kind of like charcuterie boarded this rubric that we're going to show you here in a bit, things that we've used in the past that seem like, oh, these should help teachers, but we've combined things. So one, this... really easy to approach framework from Rick, just make it's timeless, right? It makes so much sense. Carla talked about this morning, even Steve talked about this morning, purpose, making sure, because the purpose is our North Star. That's gonna drive our design decisions about that, how we measure that student learning. And the purpose is gonna drive that design along with the clear targets. And no shade on any teachers, many times when we're working with teachers, I find we still have to, particularly teachers who are newer to the profession, to help them learn what are the targets. Like, what are you really trying to help students learn? Not how we move them through an activity. We tend to be very activities focused. We're gonna do a thing, right? But in service of what learning? So the clearer we can get on targets, the clearer we get on purpose, that's gonna influence our design. I had an interesting conversation with a building principal in a county earlier this year, and he kind of like was checking me. He was like, "Snee, man, they said you think student grades should just be based on tests." And I said, "Huh?" And they said, "Yeah, they said you said that." I said, "I know I didn't say that, but let's talk more what you mean." Then he starts out, oh, you're using the word test. I use the word assessment. Okay, and you can't swap out those two things. Like, should a kiddo's grade be primarily based on assessment? Yes. But in his head, he had the understanding that tests and assessment are the same thing, and that tests equal a multiple choice methodology. Well, that's just one. And so I told him, he'd kind of give me a strange look, but I know what I'm talking about. I said, like, projects are assessments. Making things are assessments. Writing tasks are assessments. And provided that kids have had meaningful opportunities to learn, completely fair to have a course grade primarily, if not completely, driven by assessment. If assessments are truly measuring what students know, as long as you design it for that purpose, you have the targets and sound design. Now, Rick's most recent book, Giving Students the Gift of Confidence, really picks up on these last two keys of quality: effective communication. How are we communicating to students the results of the assessment? So if we're just giving them a grade, a letter grade, or a numeric score, I would challenge anybody to say that's an effective way to communicate results back to a kid, even for your classroom test. And finally, how are students involved? How are they positioned to self-reflect and self-evaluate on where they are in their learning journey, moving beyond a transactional domain of, oh, I gotta turn in my work on time next time, or I need to turn in more work. If I turn in more work, I'll get more or better points, right? It becomes like a points sort of thing. We wanna get us out of that dynamic. Oh, and so the last thing, this is a quote from his book: students' emotional response to assessment results will determine what that student decides to do about those results. Keep working or give up. In this context, it's essential to understand that anxiety and vulnerabilities are enemies of learning. So sometimes our folks in the psychometric world are all up here and never down here. And I just literally on the webinar this day, when somebody said, like, well, how do we align our classroom assessments to, like, the state assessment? And I'm like, maybe you don't. But what we should be doing is communicating to students in a way that they can understand what should come next in my learning. That's got to be part of that quality assessment process. So in an artifact we can examine to determine whether or not assessment is quality or not is a blueprint. So for Mac, how many of us use test blueprints already? Okay, y'all come back next year. I need to see all hands, okay? No test, even a project-based assessment, writing without a rubric. It's without a blueprint. So it's simply a document to describe the key attributes of an assessment, such as the standards to be assessed, the depth of knowledge, the items. I know a couple groups that mention DOKs, and the types and numbers of items to be included. There's many different types of blueprint examples out there. There's some that we included in this deck. The construction of a test blueprint is primary step in the process of test development to ensure content validity. So if you're like, oh, all of these ideas are really great, where should I start? Start at the blueprint. That's a great place to start. And the templates will drive what you see. So here's one that I designed. This is not starting with the items, but I kind of do like a backwards design of like, what are you gonna do with it? Key thing to think about on the front end, before you begin thinking about the back end: what are professional staff expected to do with this data? What instructional decisions need to be made? And really think deeply about that. So for example, if you know that you want to provide opportunities for reteaching, you know you want to provide opportunities to provide intervention, you're probably going to have to build an assessment in such a way that's giving you knowledge on students' acquisition of standards and smaller chunked learning targets. So that means you're going to have to build items or tasks or processes that are explicitly linked to not activities, but standards and learning targets, and being clear in those learning targets so you know where students are in relation to these targets. How and when will these results be communicated to students applicable, and what are students expected to do with this data? Because students are users of data too. And it's got to be more than, I got an 85. Some kids get 85 and they're like, yeah. Other kids get 85, like, oh my God. What do you want kids to do? The more specific you are, and it's got to be, well, just do better next time, right? Because some, if you talk to, you know, I have three kiddos. Sometimes it's a struggle to get them to really get in that metacognitive state. Well, what do you need to improve upon other than try harder? How and when will these results be communicated to parents? Just about everybody's got an electronic gradebook of some type. So you're going to put a thing at some point if you're on standards-based grading. Hey, you're ahead of the game. But if not, how can parents support the education of their kiddos? And are there other school stakeholders? Are you working with instructional coaches that are going to work with teachers and PLCs? So the matrix, it's not really a matrix. It's like more like a rubric or guide or even like a checklist or check brick. We built it off of content we've gleaned from Rick, Jan, Mac, Sanders, Steve referenced this morning, Standards for Educational and Psychological Testing, and for the Center for Assessment. So again, we've tried to combine multiple aspects of quality into one easy to approach tool.
So one of the things that I think has been important for me when working with some teams of teachers and we've been doing this primarily at the secondary level, primarily with high school teachers. You know, and you get a big variety of folks in the room. And some folks really are interested in talking about validity and reliability and really want to look at test statistics, which, you know, some good item analysis is very helpful. But also just kind of going back to some basics of, you know, validity being about just that it measures what you intend it to measure. And if you have a good test blueprint, if you lay these things out, there you go. There's your validity. And for those folks who are like, well, I don't give multiple choice assessments, and they feel like they can check out of this conversation. No, you can't check out of this. It isn't just for your traditional test. And I run into that a lot working with teachers and districts where they will think, well, if I give a performance assessment, if I'm the band teacher, I don't have to worry about these things because I'm not giving a test. No, you still, and one of the analogies that I like to make with folks is just like qualitative and quantitative research, they both attend to validity and reliability in slightly different ways. But at their heart, they're still at about the same things, right? And so we're just making sure that when we say we have an assessment, whether it's a performance task, whatever it is, that it's measuring what we are saying it measures, and that there is some reliability, that those student scores will be the same regardless of some external factors, but you know, if they took it first hour versus fourth hour, that wouldn't really matter. And I think the second part to me is the one that's a little, regardless of who scores it, and that gets to some of that like scoring clarity. And so we're not necessarily, again, not that we wouldn't worry at all about statistical methods, but that's not where we're gonna focus maybe all of our attention. And again, trying to make sure that we're broadening this tent so people aren't just thinking about it in terms of that traditional test, like to help them move beyond that. So to start off with this idea of alignment. So our assessment needs to be aligned to the unit learning target, state content standards, which certain departments are more or less comfortable working with. There's some folks I've worked with, they go, we don't use the standards. We're going to come back to this. We have to have it aligned to standards and their expected level, cognitive level of rigor. And that can be really tricky. I didn't link into this, but one of the tools that is in the Center for Assessment stuff is the HESS matrix, and gives some good stems for folks to think about in all of the content areas and electives as well, to think about, well, what might be a task that is at, you know, a DOK-2 at a different level of Bloom. So something concrete that people can use, and I'm going to give a shout out to that in a moment. Sports stuff. All right, so we want to make sure we're in alignment, and we want to make sure that our standards and learning target alignment are also kind of aligned with, well, what kind of assessment task Are we asking? So, right, if we are talking about, you know, knowledge, you know, type of a standard or learning target, then yeah, a selected response is a good match. So just that's part of that blueprint process is making sure that we have a good match between what we are saying our standards and or what the learning targets are and how we are assessing those things.
Why the color is strong blue in the Because I wanted you all to go blue.
Oh. Notice I did not do that, just as an FYI. So as an example, so if we have a standard of constructing claims and refining counterclaims, expressing and justifying decisions on public policy issues, what might be some smaller learning targets we could create from the standard that would then go into like different assessment types? So just as an example, we could as a selected response say, well, students can identify public policy solutions to the water crisis in the Western United States. Or if we wanted more of a written response, we could say that students can justify a public policy solution, right? So using those verbs to kind of change what we are, you know, asking students to do related to a similar thing. So just some, and this is some of the stuff that we often will provide for folks in terms of, okay, what are some of the best methods? What are those best matches? So yeah, for knowledge learning goals, if your learning goal is a knowledge learning goal, selected response are very appropriate. You can also use teacher questioning. They're typically correct or incorrect, right? They're declarative. And it's totally appropriate to have some of these on your assessment, right? If it's a good match with the standard and the learning target. But hopefully not everything we're doing is just a knowledge base, right? Some skill and process learning goals, direct observation, a performance-based assessment, a selected response, or a brief constructed response, kind of depending on the skill that we are talking about. If we were talking about understanding learning goals, we probably might use a multiple choice or fill in the blank. Performance-based assessments are another thing that we may use there. I like to shout out this particular resource because it's really been helpful for me in terms, again, of like giving examples. So the classroom assessment learning modules from the Center for Assessment, and that was Dr. Evans who was here yesterday morning to talk about, these are all free resources. Yeah, and I put the QR code because I added this late. So if you go to our session folder for the conference, this slide isn't in there. So you couldn't click on the hyperlink. So that's why I added that QR code. They are chunked by sections on what makes high quality formative classroom assessments, and then high quality classroom summative assessments, specific then modules about how to create or adapt or revise a unit like a test, how to create or adapt a performance assessment, how to create rubrics, how to create scoring. So depending again, like, and I often use them as like a, you know, giving teacher choice. Which of these things do you want to use? Just like we advocate for student voice and choice. Okay, which of these? So, you know, choose your adventure of which one do you want to use? And that resource has been really helpful in terms of something to provide for folks to use. Thank you, Rebecca.
All right, so now we're going to get into the rubric. I want to allow you time to read, reflect, criticize, right? Subtract, add, all of that. It's Thursday at 3:30. We're feeling fast and loose, aren't we, Dr. Throw? Speak for myself? No? So again, we've tried to combine all of these good things that we know are inherent in the classroom assessment creation process and provide like an approachable tool. So it's simple. It's a two-pager. Front and back. And so the purpose is to provide a self-assessment and a process that guides improvement of your locally developed classroom assessment, a thing that you could use in district-provided professional development days, you can use in PLCs. Everybody gives me the stink eye when I mention this, but a great time to focus on school improvement is summertime. Oh, I know, but hear me out, though. You don't have to worry about subs. The teacher doesn't have to worry about sub plans. There's always that nervousness of being out of the classroom, like, are they going to behave while I'm out? Are they going to do the thing I actually left in the sub plan to do? You know, so you alleviate all that burden. You know what? Wear shorts. Come in at 9 at the district's PD office, right? It's a good time. Use that last, I say the last couple weeks before they go on the July 4th holiday. So we want people to enjoy their hard-earned summer. But if you're in a position to bank staff time and release time into after the school year, I've seen a lot of districts that have done it that have had a lot of promise that just makes it just seems so right to me. But yeah, you're messing with people's summer. August is too late. August is too late. Like, I don't reckon August, you're preparing for what's happening right away. These are like longer term sustained changes. And so the intended use is to use by teacher authors. That's what I'm saying. You know, this is not something that the curriculum director or the assessment director is gonna close their door and just do and hand to teachers, say, hey, look, I fixed all your assessments I didn't like. No. We wanna work with and for classroom teachers to inform, plan, assess, and creation, improvement, and discontinuation. You might decide through this process, well, we're gonna stop this assessment because it's not yielding us actionable data, no one's using it, or the assessment itself isn't pretty good. So it's designed in really two parts. We're trying to make it simple and doable, but still to take people through a cognitive process. So the trouble with like self-assessment tool, like rate yourself and da-da-da-da-da, you sometimes get the confirmation bias of like, oh yeah, it's great, we did that. So instead of doing like a numeric, you know, strongly agree, we simply decided to use a narrative box of evidence. Do you have evidence that suggests that that thing is true? So one, there is an assessment blueprint completed for this assessment. Seems binary, sure, but maybe there is one. Maybe it's not very good. Maybe it's old and hasn't been revisited. But again, that would be kind of step one to quality. If you don't have a blueprint for that assessment, start there. Second, no items or tasks assess student knowledge of content not expressly taught in articulated curriculum. So I think one of you might have mentioned that earlier. If it was in the curriculum, it's fair game. We shouldn't be putting things on a classroom level assessment that we know are not in our curriculum. That includes things like extra credit, things like that are nice to know. Those dilute the power of what that tool is able to tell you relative to what students know and are able to do. So we want all content on that assessment to be explicitly linked to our articulated curriculum. Another example, the assessment as a whole presents students with items and tasks across a range of depth of knowledge levels. Because you do want to examine, you know, if you're trying to make a claim of mastery or proficiency, just bear in mind, that's a pretty high bar. So that means you're going to need a lot of items across higher ranges, ones, twos, and threes potentially, on that item. If it's more of a constructed response or a product, now you're into DOK-4s. But are there a range of things that give you a more complex array of things aligned to that standard? So it goes to the criteria. Is this thing true about this assessment that you are giving or have given to kids? And a narrative process, what evidence do you have that suggests that that claim is true? So what we would like you to do, I'll give you time to read it, and that's yours to keep. You can mark it up. This slide deck is, I think I turned this slide deck in, so it is in the rest of the conference materials, so you'll have digital. It is not. Well, naughty Dr. Sneed. It will be. It will be. I'm on the committee. It will be. So you'll have access to this digitally. I'll give you time to read. I'm going to pass around. Megan and I are going to pass around some cards. We are very much interested in your thoughts. What are things about this that you like? What are things that you dislike or you don't think really work well? Might there be things that we're missing here? But again, put yourself in the footprints of a classroom teacher, you know, guided by like a facilitator, someone who, you know, maybe is a trained assessment literacy facilitator from MAC, or somebody like a Megan or Mighty Joe Young over here. So somebody who has some expertise, but you're a teacher willingly participating in the process. Put yourself in that framework. Okay, so I set the timer 15 minutes. Things you like, things you dislike, or suggesting a revision.
Prior knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So we are very much interested in your warm and cool feedback. So let's start with the green. What'd you like? Nothing. Because we're really trying to think of like the process flow, and then assuming that an assessment director or curriculum director would be able to see like, okay, this team is at this point in the thing, and da 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 da. Yes, and then yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yep. Okay, good. So the flexibility of the audience and the time. Okay. Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know. Maybe I thought about a 1, 2, 3, or 5, but I feel like either you directly changed my mind or like me thinking about what you would say changed my mind. It was one of those two. Yeah. It works.
I don't remember that song.
Maybe. Yeah.
Daniels and Rubik are kind of like how staff say, like, oh, this is where that component matches this, but then it falls into that kind of a value area, and you know.
And then it feels myth.
Like,
when we are trying, I think, too, like, to not have there be too much of a cognitive load on it in terms of what, if they spent too much time thinking about where they rated and ranked on the things. Well, then they don't have any time to do any work on the assessment. And, you know, that time aspect is always omnipresent, right? Like, in terms of everything we do. So trying to make it manageable, realistic, right? You could actually do it was important for us.
Doability. Yeah.
I like the constructive response part, place the number, because you can go back to it and you aren't, like, trying to go through that. Did I say 2 or 3? I mean, it's kind of like, what did I sign up for at the conference? You know, I gotta look. So, and have some reference.
Thank you.
You can also look for misconceptions. You know, if you have new teachers coming in who might think that this is evidence and it's really not good evidence.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
It's easy to buy into.
Okay.
I think instead of trying to, like, have a selling point, like, this is going to be. Just reading
the Bible. Nice. I like. Yeah.
I kind of a both a green and a red.
Okay. sure. Yeah.
I love that, like, 12 was reviewing it after the fact and going back and visiting it, and you know, maybe take this a little bit further and somehow stress the importance of not check it's done, go back and review the items, and keep revisiting it.
I mean, that's why, man, I'm just, you know, that the summer work, the kids are gone, but you got all the data, the memory's still fresh. Like, how did that go? But the cognitive load of you can just focus on this and the revisions versus, well, I'm focusing on this, but the classroom's going over here.
Or like, I have the pile of stuff to grade.
Pile of stuff to grade and all of that. You can just focus. So, summertime. Look, y'all, look. Hey, we're probably still going to have Title II and, like, Title I.
Yay.
Governor just released her budget. Of course, that's never the thing that ultimately gets put out there. But it's a bunch of goodies in that budget. So there's some resource available to support that type of thing. Jonathan.
The teacher assessment, there's some of the terms, some of the things that the professors here at the conference on assessment might know, but, you know, the early career teacher might not have that knowledge about blueprints and depth of knowledge and AR plans.
Well, if you went to Tri-State, you'd know, but.
It's now a different school name.
Really? What is it now named?
Trine
University. Okay. All right.
I like that the checklist kind of shifts the accountability about the assessment on what did I teach. Because it's like the items and the tasks on the assessment have been assessed in prior assessment. And like the items and tasks are on student knowledge and confidence. Like that was explicitly taught. I think we get in this like mindset that the test is all about you're going to show me what you know and what do the kids know. And this keeps it really forefront of that accountability is on the teacher, and am I crafting this assessment to show and measure what I taught?
Right.
So it's like kind of, I feel like kind of sneaks that in there, mm-hmm. holds that accountability on the teacher, and not, would you know it or not? You know.
Yeah, we do take this. So, for example, like a reading diagnostic has a different purpose, right? We're trying to diagnose where are your reading challenges and difficulties, so therefore the purpose, it's fair game to assess you on a thing you might not have been explicitly taught because we're trying to diagnose where the issues are. most classroom assessments are not for the purpose of diagnostic. They're really summative assessments. And so because that's the purpose, that purpose influences the design and the targets. So yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's what we're trying to aim for. Yes.
I was just going to say, I talked to Joel, our district, about doing ratios of reading each content area, PLC through common assessments in the schools.
Nice.
And this might be something, I know they're working with Ellen at all these sessions, mm-hmm. but I'm guessing Ellen's not going to be there forever, so this might be something that once they get a base and they get a starting point, to continuously, like Joel was saying, reevaluate it once you actually do the test.
We kind of sustained you. Okay. Oh, snap. We got to get out of here, y'all. Pink cards. What'd you not like? And we're tough. So, like, give it to us because we really want it to be.
And I already gave the disclaimer too. Like I've made some changes.
You made some changes. Yeah.
We know
what you don't
it's not
like.
Great.
What you want to change?
For the one where it says that these are tests that have been assessed in prior assessment already, like, I think I might change it to like they've been practiced with feedback. Because like, it might be the first assessment. I think there is value in that. That they the kids at least have had a chance to practice it with some feedback. Mm-hmm. But I think it is kind of fair to. This might be your first assessment.
Obviously. Might be the first summative assessment.
Or summative,
there, maybe
yeah.
there has been some formative and
along
and
the way.
Yeah, so and everybody's in different language. Yeah. Problems in terms of that.
In I think it was in number 10. He suggested having at least four different responses to things. You might add a guideline for students who need reduced choices. Or an accommodation or a modification.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't think about that. Yeah. You wrote that down, right? Okay, good.
Because we are going to take them.
We are going to take your cards.
I think maybe helping like quality assessment reviewers with like all of them.
Right.
So like help me to understand like where you might employ this and where you know. Like, I can imagine, like, the statistics might break down if you're doing a small little short assessment where there's, like, a couple items get an assessment, but you might not be able to run staff on four items and make sense of it. So you would have to have probably people clarify when you might use this, just with practical assessment. Here's where you might employ this and where maybe discuss how where you can use this.
You mean we shouldn't do the Kylo Ren strategy? More! It's me a job. What else? What you didn't like? What did you not like? What might you change? Give us your worst.
I don't know where I feel.
Yeah.
Flat out say no. Oh,
yeah.
Do it. Just because it adds a lot of noise. Like, okay, if it's get a chance, there's a lot of noise saying,
right.
Well, did you really get it? Yeah, say you're like, okay, I need to know, like, quickly, boom, without any understanding what they're thinking, like, do they understand it? But there's also actual ones that I got it right.
But guessing, yeah.
So, like, do you just say flat out no?
Don't,
or,
yeah.
Where might this work?
Yeah.
How might you use it appropriately? So that's where one where I'm like, I'd be careful if it's false. I've never, you know, I see those up front, like,
yeah, I feel like actually in the next revision, I think I did take that section off. Cause I'm like, I don't want to encourage anyone
to do that.
to do true and false items.
Yeah. You can do it. It's great for like trivia.
Yeah.
But not a summative assessment.
Explain why so-and-so sees this. They said this. They think this is false. Explain why they think it's false.
Yeah.
But then it's not true-false.
Right, yes.
Constructive response.
Right, so every true-false should be paired with, or, with some kind of...
Make it true-false.
Yeah.
So it should say, write a dissertation.
Right.
You chose this.
Yeah, I put that one too, like true-false.
Your justification can't be the Dow's at 50,000. Some of you are going to get that later. What else? Yeah.
Yeah.
You could.
To do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we kind of figured, like, and we talked about that, but we kind of figured, like, you had a something. If it wasn't an Illuminate DNA, you're running things through a power school or something, and we don't know, because we don't use those products at Oakland Schools, about the back-end reporting, so, you know. But you can, like, dump some stuff into a spreadsheet. But would we expect, like, a teacher team to do that if they didn't have a back-end report done for them? Probably not. So then it would be up to, like, a facilitator to help with that process, like a curriculum. Yeah, that's right. That's our time. So thank you. We do definitely want those cards. You all have been fantastic. That's our contact information. Everybody drive home safely, y'all.